Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on a Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 9:30, we enjoy these chats with the great John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, we have our first coaching opening in the National Football League. Robert Saleh shown the door in New York. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm just fascinated by this. Not that he got fired, but it was Eric Mangini on a TV show last week, former Browns coach and Patriots assistant. And Mangini said, if the Jets lose in London, where Woody Johnson was the ambassador, and he's going to have a lot of his British buddies in his suite, if they lose, watch him fire Robert Saleh. And that's what he did. Now, there's so many great stories coming out of there. Number one, he was going to fire Nathaniel Hackett, the worst offensive coordinator in the NFL, but Aaron Rodgers' close friends. Another story, no, he wasn't going to fire him. He had demoted him as the play caller. And the thing is preposterous about all – oh, and the other one was that Saleh and Rodgers had gotten in a huge argument after the press conference in London after the game. So I think for Woody Johnson to admit he talked to Aaron Rodgers on Monday night – I mean, he talked to Aaron Rodgers on Monday night and Saleh's name never came up. Are you kidding me? That's preposterous. So the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers, we all knew, is running the team. And Robert Saleh is a defensive coach, and their defense is playing great. Their offense is terrible. Rodgers was awful in that loss to the Vikings. So you'd think they're firing Nathaniel Hackett. I'm guessing he's got 1 week against the Bills, and then Todd Downing, who you guys know, he'll be promoted to be the play caller. And it's so much intrigue up there. I love controversy involving Rodgers. He'll go on Pat McAfee today. No, I had nothing to do with it.
We have a phrase for that, but we can't say that on the radio. John McClain is with us.
I got an idea about what it would be.
Okay. Yeah, you do, for sure. So we were just having this discussion. Because you look at all these websites that are like, here are the top candidates to replace Robert Saleh. Bill Belichick's name pops up on that list. Now, we all know the history there. I don't think there's any way that it happens because of things that have happened in the past. But when I look at the lists out there, do you agree or disagree that Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel by far are the top two head coaching candidates that are currently available?
Most of the time when you fire a head coach who was a defensive coach, you go offense. If you fire a head coach who was an offensive coach, you go defense. That's the way, not the way it is all the time, but the majority of the time. That would say they'd want to go hire a younger offensive coach. On the other hand, when you got Aaron Rodgers running a team, is that a good job? Would Mike Vrabel want to coach Aaron Rodgers knowing that he had the owner's ear and they do everything he wants? If they get Devontae Adams, that shows he's doing trades too. And they've done everything they can for him. The timing of the firing's weird because if they beat the Bills Monday night, they're tied for first place. Technically, because it's an AFC East team, they would have a half-game lead. And so maybe they think Jeff Ulbrich, who's never been a head coach, will ignite them to be better. The bottom line is the defense is good. It's the offense that's awful. And so Belichick would be intriguing because, remember, he was a defensive coordinator of the Jets. Parcells going to focus on being the GM, and they were announcing Belichick as their new head coach, and he resigned on a napkin to say he was going to New England. Robert Kraft hired him, not because he thought he was any good, because nobody did. He bombed out big time in Cleveland. Yeah. And Bob Kraft hired him because he wanted to stick it to Parcells, because he and Parcells have become bitter enemies after the way Parcells left the Patriots. So it would be a way to get back at the Patriots to do it. But Belichick, can you imagine him and Rodgers? You know, Brady had earned the right to be opinionated, but Belichick humiliated him in practice, ran him down constantly. That famous quote, Brady, I'd go down the street to such and such high school and get three quarterbacks to come up here and run it better than you do. Rodgers, the sensitive Aaron Rodgers, he couldn't handle all that. And but Belichick wants to coach again. He's out there now just about everywhere to show people a different side of them, that he's not the mumbling crumbutch and he was at news conferences that people saw all the time. And so I think he'd be a possibility. Anybody changing coaches should check out Mike Vrabel, of course, but there's going to be a lot of other assistant coaches worthy of jobs. But man, oh man, you need somebody with experience, because if Rodgers comes back next year, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, that's very doubtful. But if he does, you're going to have somebody that can stand up to him. If indeed the owner and the GM, well, Joe Douglas, he's not really the GM anymore. He's assistant to Rodgers. And somebody to stand up to him, but then you don't know how he's going to handle it. If Mike Vrabel were to go in there and say, I am going to kick your ass if you don't do this, this, and this, Rodgers would go run into mom. No, he wouldn't go run into mom. He said, I'd talk to his family. He'd go run into Woody.
Yes, he would. John McClain's with us. All right, give me a team. If Bill Belichick called John McClain and said, John, I respect you. You've covered the NFL for a long time. Where do you think the best fit is for me at this point in my career? What team would you say?
Well, he's going to, as I did a podcast with a longtime New England writer yesterday, and she said that is not interested in a rebuild. He'd have to go somewhere where they have talent. We have the quarterback. It would be a job like the Jets, where you have most of the things are established. The Jets have all kind of talent on offense, just not utilizing them because Rodgers can't get them the ball. But he wants a team that's talented. He doesn't want to take over a rebuild. And so we don't, you know, the Cowboys, Jerry Jones has praised Belichick off and on, so people think right away if he fires Mike McCarthy, he's going after Belichick. And Belichick has said he doesn't have to have cold control anymore. Give me a break. What GM is going to say? What GM is going to say? No, Bill. No, we're not going to do that. Or we're going to do this, Bill. No, he's going to have total control. And like Parcells, when he worked with Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones wanted Eddie George. He didn't want Eddie George. He had a young running back, but he said Jerry wanted him, so we took him. And then he didn't want T.O. Jerry wanted him, so he took him. So that's the kind of thing you have to be prepared for with Jerry Jones. So I would say the Cowboys, they got the quarterback, they got talent. That would be ideal for Bill Belichick to break Don Shula's record.
We're talking the great John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, let's turn our attention to the Cleveland Browns. They're terrible. Deshaun Watson's awful. This is going nowhere. How much did this whole thing with Watson, John, the trade and the guaranteed contract, kind of upset the whole entire NFL? Because massive contract, guaranteed, all the trades that went to Houston for Cleveland, I mean, this could well go down. It is the worst thing that's ever happened in pro football, especially with the Cleveland Browns.
Well, for the Browns, yes, nothing ever will be worse than the Herschel Walker trade to Minnesota, because the Cowboys took all those picks. Jimmy Johnson had it in the original deal that he could not say publicly that those veteran players he took, he could cut them for first and second round picks, which he did, and they won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. So if the Texans win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years after this trade, then they can say, well, it's as good as the Herschel Walker trade. But certainly one of the worst in history, just like Russell Wilson in Denver. And Deshaun Watson needs to be benched. It would be good for him. You know, his confidence got to be shot. His teammates are down on him. The fans and media don't like him. Sit him down. Take the criticism. Let Jameis Winston play a little bit. And Watson's not going anywhere. His dead cap money would be $178 million over the next 2 years. And so they're stuck with it. And so you can't just keep pounding the rock and hoping it's going to turn into water or gold. And so they'd be doing him a favor. Let him get out of the pressure and the limelight, see if he could regroup. And in his defense, he's had 2 offensive linemen out. He's had receivers drop touchdown passes, and Nick Chubb's not ready to come back, so he's got no running game. So it's amazing, and Jimmy Haslam makes that decision. not Kevin Stefanski, and Haslam ought to say, okay, guys, do what you want to do, and they would bench him and roll with Jameis Winston.
What, when that all went down, did you shake your head? Were you in disbelief? What was your reaction when all that went down, the trade, the guaranteed contract, and all that? Because you covered Watson.
Well, everybody was shocked at the guaranteed contract. The only way he got it, four teams were the finalists for him. The first one he eliminated was Cleveland. He didn't want to play in the bad weather up there with the wind and the stadium on Lake Erie where it's almost always really windy. So he ruled them out. And then he went for the Saints, the Falcons, and I think Carolina. Miami was already out of it because the owner, Stephen Ross, wanted all the civil suits settled and he couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. And so the Browns went back and huddled, okay, what can we do? And then they went to his agent, David Mulligetti, and said, what if we guarantee everything? And at the time, the Texans and Browns will never admit this, because that's tampering. They had another draft choice thrown in, or a better one than they had before. So they let him negotiate it, and then he went to Cleveland. And he didn't want to go to Cleveland, but he did for the money, and everybody up there knows it. So it's been a disaster from the get-go. It's amazing how far he's fallen from the 2020 season when he was fabulous.
John McClain joining us here on the program. We will have much more with John coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday.
Hey, tonight, if you're out and about, go see our buddy Todd Rodermill at the Omni National Hotel at Bar Lines. It's called This Bar Could Talk. Songs, stories from Bar Lines featuring some great songwriters, Skip Black, Paige Pennant, Wade Fitzgerald, Laurel Taylor. Tonight, it is free at Bar Lines. It's the best place in the city. Sit on Fifth Avenue, see the people come by. Great weather, great times at This Bar Could Talk at the Omni at Bar Lines tonight. Free show starts at 5:30. John McClain is with us on the Chase and McJoe Show. John, watching the Saints the other night, and I was telling Chase this, they are to the point where they expect to win when they get on the field, John. It's fun watching them, because nobody else in the NFL really expects to win when they get on the field, and the Chiefs do it, and they don't panic.
It's because they got so much experience at it. They've been through every situation they could possibly go through. They have one of the greatest coaches in history, and they have one of the top, what's turned out to be top five quarterbacks in history, and they got a great defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, who does a tremendous job. They're playing a lot better now. They're winning more now than they did last year when they lost six games during regular season. By the way, Texans just put Nico Collins on IR with a hamstring injury, meaning he'll have to miss four games. So that's a big blow to their offense.
We talk about Mahomes all the time, John, and you see him. He's, you know, he played at Texas Tech. I mean, this is just the perfect everything for him, isn't it? With the right coach, the right team, the right city, right system, right everything. Could Mahomes do this if he had been drafted by, I don't know, the Seahawks?
I don't know. If you look back at what they've done with quarterbacks there, Pete Carroll's a defensive coordinator. If he'd had an offensive coordinator come in, been innovative, and he'd done great, he'd been changing them every 2 years. Andy Reid was considered a head coach who had a lot of clock management issues. He got ripped all the time about it. A really good coach, was great at times. Then he drafts Mahomes, gives him a year to watch, and then Andy's one of the greatest coaches in history. If you look at head coaches in the Hall of Fame, just about everyone other than Joe Gibbs had great quarterbacks. Did the quarterbacks make the coach, or did the coach make the quarterback?
Good point. It's a great question for sure. John McClain is with us. You just mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, and I know he got his chance as a head coach with the Rams. It didn't go well, and that was after, you know, the run with the Giants and worked for Andy in Philadelphia. Now he's, you know, been with Kansas City for the last 5 years. Do you feel like he gets another opportunity to be a head coach, or is he simply just one of those guys that's a great coordinator and that's his job?
I think he's simply one of those guys who's a great coordinator and that's his job. He makes millions of dollars a year. They pay him very well. And he obviously, with Andy Reid, Andy leaves the entire defense up to him, as coaches should do. Like D'Amico Ryans leaves the offense up to Bobby Slowick and vice versa. You want to know what's going on, but that you hired them for a reason. And those two have been kind of a gruesome twosome for the NFL since they got together.
So when we were talking, Joe and I were talking earlier, we kind of mentioned some teams. You know, we live in a world of parity, and the NFL wants, they're not to necessarily be dynasties and things like that. But, you know, we kind of mentioned a handful of teams that I think if they did well every year, everybody in the league would be happy. When you think about the NFL, are there three or four teams that just everything feels right when they are successful?
I think a lot of people get tired of teams, of dynasties. Now, I know I was tired of covering the Patriots all the time in the Super Bowl. There wasn't anything I could write or broadcast that I hadn't already done. You're looking for new blood, like, say, Detroit being in the Super Bowl. But if they could, they'd love for the Cowboys to be great because they get the highest TV ratings. And every time they played, they'd have even bigger TV ratings. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, they have national audiences and the Browns, that if those teams were great all the time, I think the league would love it. The league loves the story franchises. You know, they don't care about Houston. They don't care about Tennessee, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Miami, Jacksonville. They want the ones that bring in the TV money. What if the Giants were great every year?
Right.
And the Giants are the number one team in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, not the Jets. Jets get most of the attention, but not from football reasons. So, yes, I think that they would love it, and I think it'd be good for the league. I'd love to see Detroit and Cleveland in a Super Bowl. Neither one of them's ever been to a Super Bowl. It's certainly not happening with the Browns, that's for sure.
Well, what's interesting is I was, you know, like everybody, watching the Cowboys and the Steelers Sunday night, a historic, you know, rivalry, Super Bowls, all those things. And when they mentioned that it was the first primetime meeting between them since 1982, I was floored. Absolutely floored that was the you know, and I know they don't play a lot, but I figured it would have happened before then.
They play every 4 years, so you would think, and I'm guessing, you know, you don't just take a game automatically and move it to primetime. There's negotiations going on with Fox and CBS, especially Fox, and they don't, like, every 4 years, they're not going to want to let those games be primetime. It doesn't matter if the Cowboys are any good or not. The Steelers are always competitive. The Cowboys, they've had some down times, but the Cowboys still draw the best TV ratings. If they wanted to have the greatest ratings in history, put every Cowboys game in primetime.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So yesterday an announcement was made by somebody you and I both know very, very well. George Plaster is going to return to 94.9 The Fan, which is our sister station, starting on Monday from 3 to 5. George is the reason you're on Nashville radio, correct?
It is. And the first time the Oilers had a practice at Tennessee State, it was at training camp when they were up there. And I was up there for a while, like every Houston media outlet was, because you guys stole our team. So you had media from Kentucky, from all these other states there. And what I had done the last year before the team moved, I had Jeff Legwall, my buddy from the Tennessean, put his radio on and put his phone next to it so I could hear the Mike McClure show on George Plaster. And then I listened a few times, and I wrote a made-up column with George going on the air with having McClure on, the Mike McClure show, and it was an I Stump Mike T-shirt night. And I made up the quotes and everything. I made up calls. But the idea is you would get an I Stump Mike T-shirt if you could ask him a question he couldn't answer. So the question was, who starts in the offensive line for the Oilers? And he got Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews. He couldn't get the others. He stuttered and stumbled. George tried to take up for him. He had calls from Houston, from Bud. Let's go to Bud in Houston. Bud, what's on your mind? McClure, what in the hell? Oops, we got a bad connection. Let's go to the next one. And so I had a lot of calls like that. Bud read it and asked his people at a meeting, was that real? And they said the only thing real about McClain's column was McClure's doing a radio show up there with a guy, George Plaster. And so Bud had a fit. He didn't want Mike getting all that publicity. And, of course, they ran out of I Stump Mike T-shirts because everybody got them. And so I knew who George was. First practice, I see him in the station set up in the stands. And I walked over to the – I was on the field, and I looked up. during a break, I said, are you George Plaster? And he goes, hey, yeah, I am. Thanks for listening. And he didn't know who I was. So I introduced myself. He said, I know you. I saw that column you wrote. And so he put me on the air. And I told a lot of good stories, especially about Bud. So I went on with him a few times. And I'll never forget, I was in Tampa. I was covering the NFL at that time. And I was walking into my hotel, and he calls. And I said, what's up, George? He said, I want to talk to you about doing a regular show with me. And I'm like, he said, we pay. I said, I'm in. And so George gave me my start up there. I had so many great times on with him. I've gone with him on the show he does now a couple of times. I would not be doing what I've done in Nashville for 28 years if it wasn't for George Plaster.
Nice.
And I'm so happy you guys are doing that. He's one of my all-time favorite people, not just in sports, but period.
Yeah, he's the best, that is for sure. And so we look forward to having him back in the family, and I'm sure you will jump on with him from time to time. We look forward to these talks every week. John, thanks so much as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and congrats on bringing George on the shows with y'all.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. John McClain here with us on Chasing Big Joe, as he is every Wednesday at 9:30. We keep it going with football. Coach Derek Mason, MTSU, will join us for his weekly visit. We will do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3.